Hi, everyone. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we're the Terror Girls.
Welcome back to season four.
And in this season, remember, we have guests from all over, not just Cleveland. So in continuing with our outside of Cleveland guests, we have a friend from On, one of our running shoe brands, and it is Blake. Hi, Blake.
How's it going today?
Good. Thanks so much for being on the Terror Girls podcast.
If you come to our Terror Trot at all, our group run on Monday nights, you probably remember Blake. He's come up for quite a few demos and chatted with a lot of you. So we're excited. We think you guys are really going to enjoy hearing from him. We're excited to talk to him today.
Awesome. So Blake, before we get started, we have some warm-up questions that are somewhat unrelated to running slash anything. So are you ready, Blake?
I'm more than ready. Let's hear him.
Okay. Blake, would you rather be too hot forever or too cold forever?
I think too hot, just because I'm from Florida and I feel like I'm more adapted to the warmth than the cold. So I would definitely choose too hot.
Nice.
Yeah. From Florida kind of answers that question.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. Do you prefer fiction or nonfiction and why?
When I was younger, I definitely preferred fiction. I always liked fairy tales and just these like really out of pocket stories. But now that I've gotten older, I like learning. So reading up on just like nonfiction related things, things that I can use to like gain knowledge. So I would say in my current life, I definitely appreciate some nonfiction books, podcasts, articles, things like that.
Awesome. Do you do any audiobooks? Are you an audiobook guy?
I actually just bought this recent audiobook. It's essentially, I don't know the title of it, but it's a book that a bunch of doctors, nutritionists and dietitians contributed to. And it talks about how the food, it goes in depth on the food that you eat and how it affects your mental health, your focus, brain health, things like that. So it just like, it talks about just how diet affects the way you function. So
awesome.
That is interesting. And yeah. Very, very true.
Yeah, absolutely. I say as I feel like I need a nap after. After my coffee and lunch. Yep.
All right. Blake, when it comes to cross training, do you prefer yoga? Do you prefer doing weights? Do you prefer doing something else?
Yeah, I'm honestly, I'm kind of stubborn and I don't like people telling me what to do. So I would never go to like a yoga class. I think it's great, but I typically like when I stretch, I just kind of grab like a stretching rope and stretch on my own, or I'll do weights on my own. But I think it between the two, I prefer, you know, just some like light stability work. I don't lift anything too heavy. But I definitely like getting some like resistance bands and working on like mobility and just trying to keep my body nimble.
Yeah, no, that's really important. Do you do anything else? Do you bike? Do you climb? What do you, any other kind of exercise?
Yeah, I used to do triathlon, but not anymore. But I really, nowadays I just really like to hike. I hiked Foster Falls this morning. It's not this crazy hike, but it's just this nice waterfall. Right outside of Chattanooga. Hiking, some pickleball, and some climbing are the three things that I rotate between.
Nice.
Awesome. That's great. It. Those are all very diverse.
Yeah,
right?
They are.
Hiking, yeah. Like your legs, pickleball is lateral movement, paddle sports, and yeah, climbing, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, Blake, if you had to delete one food from existence in the whole universe, what would it be?
That's a tough one. It would definitely be something that isn't healthy. You know, I think, that's a good question. Let's say vegetable oil. You know, I think vegetable oil is absolutely terrible for you. And it's just something that you'll find in almost anything. I think we should rely on just like healthy oils and fats and stuff like avocado oil and other things, coconut oil, but everyone relies on vegetable oil a little too much.
That's great. a great answer. I have started, this is elementary compared to your audiobook, it sounds like, but when I make cookies from a bag, instead of adding vegetable oil, I add applesauce. Did you know that you could substitute unsweetened applesauce for vegetable oil?
Yeah, I made some banana bread that way.
Yeah.
The other week.
Yeah.
The grail. So
I'm on board with you.
I love it. Okay, this one, I've been warning our guests, it's kind of a difficult question. Maybe it's not, but it would be difficult for me. Can you tell us a joke?
Yeah. What do you do with 100 peaches?
What?
You eat what you can and you can what you can't.
That was funny. You wow. Just like had that in your back pocket.
It's because he lives in Georgia now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that peach joke because now you live in Georgia?
Yeah, it was a joke that I told Big Peach Running Company.
That is so good.
That's funny. That's a good one. I didn't know where that was going. I was like, wait, did he hear us already? Is that the beginning of a joke?
No.
That was good.
That was good. I'm glad our guests have given us some good jokes for me to like put in my back pocket.
Yeah, I don't think if you asked me that, I couldn't give you a joke off the fly. Like, I don't have jokes just in my repertoire. Well,
you should now.
I now have a peach joke though. So
can you tell us? Do you know it? Can you tell it back to us?
What do you do with 100 peaches?
I don't know what.
You eat what you can and you can what you can't.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Great job.
See, it's not funny if you mess up the joke. All right. Thanks, Blake. Those are warm-up questions. Now that we're all warmed up and giggling, we can get to the real meat of the interview. So, Blake, we have hung out a couple times as you've come into town for On events, gotten to know each other a little bit, and you are a super interesting guy. So we want to ask you a couple questions, but before we get into all your other interesting things, how did you get into Run Specialty? You work for On, you're a tech rep. So that was 33 questions at once.
We have to ask Blake just to tell us a little bit about himself. You're just jumping right in. He's told us he's from Florida, but what else? He's more than an On rep.
Tell us about yourself, Blake.
Yeah, I guess, you know, growing up in Florida, my dad was a baseball player. So I really from like T-ball up, I played baseball, and my stepmom ran track and field in college. So she kind of introduced me to running. But I thought running was the dumbest thing ever. Growing up, our family ran like the turkey trots on Thanksgiving. When I was like in elementary school, my mom would like drag us, my stepmom would drag us out to like local 5Ks, and I would just walk them. And I still have pictures of just my face being like beet red at the age of like 8 or 9. And I hated it. Like, I absolutely hated running. But as the years went on, you know, I slowly started liking it. So that's kind of where I started running. But more about me is, yeah, I'm from Florida. I lived there my whole life. I lived in Sarasota, Florida. I'm 27 years old. I really enjoy just like being outside. I'm a workhorse. I love to work. I work 7 days a week. And I absolutely love it. Like it's one of the things that gives me like a purpose. I feel like, giving back to like my job and then also the run, like the run retailers that I work with. So I love what I do. And then I'm a foodie too. I do appreciate good food. You know, I'll always try to avoid like chains if possible. Mm-hmm. Nothing against chains, but I really like trying new places. So that's always like a nice thing for me. And then last thing is, I'm one of the most indecisive people you'll ever meet. I will go into a grocery store to get some like ketchup, and I'll leave 3 hours later with anything but ketchup. Super indecisive.
Wow, those are great facts about you.
Now we have so many more questions.
I know. Okay, wait. So first, let's go back to your dad played baseball like professionally?
So he played in high school, and then when he was 18, I wouldn't say recruited, but he was invited out by the Atlanta Braves to try out, and he made it through a couple like not interviews, but a couple tryouts. They invite you out. They asked some people to come back, and I think there was like 4 rounds, and he made it through a couple. He never ended up getting a contract, but he was a decent ball player, like enough to get invited out by some pro teams to try out. But you know, growing up, like, I always look up to my dad, so I was like, well, he's a baseball player, I want to be a baseball player.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he kind of inspired me to play through up through high school. So I did play in high school as well. But that's kind of when I stopped, right around that time.
Okay, cool. So you come from an athletic family.
What's your favorite restaurant that you've eaten at in the Chattanooga, Cleveland area?
I really like, and other than, you know, other than pizza, I don't think I've eaten, like when we had pizza, I don't think I've ever actually eaten in Cleveland. I usually have eaten in Chattanooga. The Flying Squirrel was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That's like that place downtown is really good. I know they just switched it. The ownership switched the kind of like, it's now like, I think a Hawaiian Asian like style. So they have a different menu now, but, and then there's also this really good, like local juice company called The Juicery, like kind of downtown Chattanooga is really good. So I would say one of those two.
Very cool.
Great recommendations.
Yeah, he's referring to, like, came to town to do a staff training, and we got Loopy's Pizza. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Yes. Pizza. Yeah,
definitely. Okay. Now we can go back to Brittany's original question that she tried to start asking. She was just getting down to business.
How'd you get into run specialty?
Yeah, I think being a runner, it's really ironic. When I started running in high school, you know, I turned 16 and I never, you know, I didn't come from money. I had to earn everything I got growing up. So, you know, if I wanted things, I had to get it. My friends were like, you got to get a job. They were really good about teaching me responsibility. So, I think when I was 15, there was only two places that I would hire. It was McDonald's or Publix. So my first job was at McDonald's, worked there for a year. And when I was 16, I was allowed to work for, we had a New Balance franchise.
Oh, cool.
And being a runner, I was like, I'm going to go work for this running store. Like, it's going to be great. And it's a New Balance franchise in a retirement community. Like 99% of people I fit were like 80 and up, which I absolutely loved, like just sitting down and talking to them. Like, I've heard some really cool stories, but that's kind of when I started working in run retail. And then we had another chain called Fit to Run. They're really big in Florida. When I was 18, I started working for Fit to Run. And that was when I had like my first like rep encounter where like a brand rep would come in and that was like a new concept to me. And, you know, I remember back when I was 18, there was this guy named Alex Luna from Saucony, and him and I really hit it off. I thought he was the coolest guy ever. I talked to him about like my running struggles and, you know, needing a new coach, and he ended up coaching me. Like, he was just such a nice person. Really good to me, treated me well. And I think that's when I like really liked the idea of becoming a rep, but I never thought of it as a reality. And, you know, just some time went by, went to college. And then the opportunity just kind of presented itself a year and a half ago, when, you know, some of the relationships I made through running, they had posted about an open tech rep position for On. And I was a huge fan of the brand. On is definitely like, it was my number one like running shoe brand. Whenever I would go out and buy shoes, I would always try to get an On. I was an ambassador back in 2019. I've done some On events in the past as well, prior to working for them. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in, like, I could never work for a company that I didn't, you know, really believe was like on the right path, and they had good values and everything, and On checked out. So when I had the opportunity, I applied, and I thankfully got the job. So yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. That I didn't even realize that you were an ambassador for On. You kind of go back with On a little bit farther than I
thought. Yeah.
So I can't help but notice that when you were telling us about what you do to stay active, running wasn't one of your things that you do regularly. So can you tell us about, like, how has running like factored into your life, and then maybe even out of your life?
Yeah. So I love running. Like, I love, you know, the physicality of doing it, the mental challenge it brings, the community that comes with it. You know, I do love running. I would say I got really burnt out just from running in high school and collegiately, and just running a lot. It ended up becoming a job for me, and I think it took some enjoyment away. I do have a healthy relationship with running now. Like, it's, you know, I won't even wear a GPS watch when I run. Like, it's not about stats. It's just going out and just doing it. But I had hip surgery a couple years ago, and that hip surgery kind of limited how much I could run. So, you know, now I'll run, you know, maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I just can't necessarily train like the old days. So I find that I can do, you know, I like to mix it up now rather than solely relying on running as like a physical activity. So now that's why I do like pickleball and the hiking and everything.
No, that makes total sense. That's awesome. I mean, definitely something people can relate to with injuries as well as just getting burnt out on running. Maybe this is just me talking to someone that is in the running world, but I feel like running even more than other sports can tend to really consume.
Yeah.
consume people. Mm-hmm. And when it's healthier to mix it up.
Yeah. And I think it's a good reminder too, that like you can be a runner and also run occasionally. Yeah. And also love other things just as much. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Definitely.
Let's go back to, you mentioned On was always one of your favorite brands even before you worked for the brand. So can you tell us about On? They're relatively new to the running scene. I say relative compared to some other kind of longstanding brands. And what about the brand drew you to them? And yeah, what can you tell us about On?
Yeah, I think it you know, I've always been interested growing up, and this is why I'm, you know, listening to this audiobook. And when I was in college, I studied dietetics. I've always been really interested in like biomechanics and nutrition and just holistic health. Like, how can we take the most holistic approach to get from point A to point B? And I, you know, thinking about On and their roots, you know, they're from Switzerland. One of the most beautiful places on the planet, that, and they really care about like the planet, sustainability, and overall with the products that they make is taking a natural approach to things. And when I mean natural, I'm not referring to drop or anything like that. I mean, just like, you know, with a lot of our shoes, we really emphasize like structure in shoes. And that's why with most of our shoes, we use this thing called a speed board. It just creates this like a little bit more structured, stable platform. And I would say, you know, amongst other brands, like we're one of the brands that utilizes that plate system more than anybody else. And, you know, I'm a believer in what the technology that the company uses. And I believe it really creates this like holistic, natural approach to running while also being one of the most innovative brands. So it's really cool to work for a company that's creating product that I believe in. And it's also super sustainable. I think On is doing some of the most sustainable things that any brand is doing, even outside of footwear. When you look at other like apparel brands like Fiori, Patagonia, North Face, things like that, not saying that they're not doing their part in creating sustainable product, but some of the things that On has released and then things that are upcoming is one of one. So it's just really cool to be a part of a brand that's doing that.
Yeah, that is super cool. I've also been very impressed by On's sustainability focus. And like you said, they're just really innovating. We got to listen to Casper, one of mm-hmm. the founders of the company, at the running event last year. And the whole event was sustainability focused, and just some really awesome stuff coming from On, and cool things on the horizon. And I feel like they're pushing the other footwear brands to really even be better, I mm-hmm. guess, which is definitely something to be proud of, especially with the footwear industry, which has primarily used a lot of fossil fuel in the product, still does. So mm-hmm. that is really exciting coming from On.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to being sustainable and super cool and having great values, there's no arguing that On shoes look really good. We sell a lot of them because they look awesome. You must have a great team of designers there from On. The Swiss sure know how to design a good looking shoe.
They do.
And so what do you have to say about that, about people who think On shoes are just for fashion or they just look good? You know, what do you think we should be telling our customers about, you know, the technology that On has, and what else is there besides a good looking shoe?
Yeah, it's tough because I mean, dating back to, you know, 2010 when the company started, and 2013 when they came to the U.S., it was really risky because of the technology that we believe in, which we call cloud tech. You know, when you look at on the wall, we look a little bit different. You know, we've got the elements or the holes on the sides of the shoes. And that was just so risky to kind of launch in something in such a well-established realm, which is footwear. There's so many established brands, and being a newer brand, you know, we were very risky with, you know, the products that we launched, but it was something that the founders truly believed in, what we call cloud tech. And essentially all of those, as people like to say, the holes, or we say the elements or the cavities, they aren't, you know, we didn't create them just to make the shoe look different and stand out. That it has nothing to do with that. That cloud tech is, as we call it, essentially those elements or holes will compress like vertically and also horizontally to create this like side to side shearing sensation under your foot. And you know, it really replicates kind of, you know, when the founders were trying to figure out how to replicate that sensation, is like a garden hose, where you, if you were to step on a garden hose, not only would it compress vertically, but it would also, those two layers would shear side to side in a horizontal fashion. And that's what cloud tech is supposed to be. And it's meant to, it's a Swiss engineering that's designed to kind of reduce fatigue in your body, keep your legs a little bit fresher, and also offer some propulsion when, you know, you're running and you want a little bit more spring and energy return. So it's really cool. And I love it because we're the only brand who has those things in all of our shoes that we, you know, and I feel like some other brands are starting to do it as just a kind of just like a visual stand from a visual standpoint. But On is, you know, it serves a structural purpose, and we're able to kind of manipulate the size, the shape, the angle of those elements to create this different sensation under your foot. So we're able to, you know, use those as variables and manipulate them and create different feelings and sensations. So yes, they look cool, but, you know, it's some of the most innovative technology that the footwear industry has ever seen. So it's really, really interesting.
It is really interesting. One of the things I really like about On's shoes is I feel like each model feels pretty different. I can usually find for a customer the right model for them because they are so unique because of the technology in them. You know, you've got the cloud tech phase and you've got the cloud tech. And if listeners don't know what that is, come to the store and we'll put one on your foot and you can feel the difference. But I really like that because they all have very unique properties and you can kind of find what you're looking for in a certain On shoe. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So before we wrap this up, I don't have a transition to talk about your tiny house hobby.
Yes.
You also build tiny houses, and I don't know how to transition to that. Can you tell us about your tiny house hobby?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. One thing is this is actually something I should have mentioned back in when you asked about me, is that I'm like a big time, like go-getter. Like if I think of something super spontaneous, like I'm just, if my mind's fixed on something, I will not stop until I do it. Before we get into the tiny houses, it was funny. It was like a year ago, my friends and I talked about starting a coffee business, like doing like connecting with the local roaster and doing some private labeled bags. So like a coffee for climbers kind of thing. And we had the conversation about it just while we were climbing in a gym. And I think it was a week later, I had a website and I had already ordered bags and created labels for it a week after the conversation. And obviously the coffee business didn't work out, but it's like, it's just something, it's just who I am. But
yeah, no messing around. Yep. I like it.
That's kind of how the tiny house thing came into play. It was, I think it was during COVID. It was November of 2020. You know, I was spending a lot of time on my phone because there was nothing to do. And I was just on YouTube, just looking at tiny homes, just things like that, because they're just so cool and unique and whatnot. But there was this guy named Robuilt, but his name's Rob, but his channel's Robuilt, Robuilt. And he has a channel where he essentially talks about the behind the scenes of tiny homes, not just featuring how cute they are, but rather how he did them, how much it costs, the barriers that you have to overcome to like start your own tiny home. And he, you know, he just made it seem so accessible and so easy for us to do. But a lot of people think of it as this like really hard thing to obtain, like a tiny home on land. Like, how do we get to that point? And he made it super, like, he really just like made it so easy to understand. And I was watching this video in November of 2020 and I was like, I can do that. And 4 months later I had bought my first piece of land. So it was March of 2021, when my stepdad and I went in 50-50 and we bought our first piece of land, and we had no clue. We actually wanted to build something else. We wanted to build this like really big cabin. And so, there was this, all these ups and downs, just like saving up money, working and, you know, getting a well and saving up money for another 4 or 5 months and then putting in a septic system. And it just took months and months and months. And 2 years later, we have our first tiny home and we officially launched it on, it was like summer, fall of 2023. So we've only had it for like six to eight months, like running and live on Airbnb, but it's been an incredible journey. You know, we're already starting our second project, which is almost done in Florida, and then eyeing down our third. But man, it was a journey. You know, I remember I would go up there and I was living in Florida at the time. So there was a time when it was 8 weeks living in Sarasota. And I think 6 of 8 weeks I drove up to North Carolina. It was an 8 hour each way round trip. 6 out of 8 weekends I drove up there and just worked. I remember I was like shoveling for a sewer line, you know, that took 8 to 10 hours. I had blisters all over my hands. And, you know, it was really cool to see it slowly come together, and just all the hard work that we put into it. And now seeing this like physical piece of property that people get to enjoy. I mean, that's the fun part about it. Like, you know, hearing people message us saying, I just proposed to my girlfriend at your tiny home. And those are the things that are happening. It's like, to think that we created this space that people can enjoy is just really, it's fun and it's kind of addicting to where you want to build more. So that's the sum of it.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
What a cool side gig, you know?
Yeah. You can tell you're definitely a very hard worker.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would drive all that way on weekends and shovel sewer lines.
Yeah. You lost me at driving and shoveling and sewer. Like,
oh, I've cried a few times. I remember I was shoveling and I was super stressed out because I had to like get back to work in Florida the next, like a day or two later, another 8 hour drive. I've cried up there just knowing how hard it was. So, but it's nice to see it done now and people enjoying it. So it's all worth it.
That's awesome. Good to see you. Okay. Before we end our interview, we always ask all of our guests what advice they would give to a new runner and what advice they would give to someone that's been running a while, a seasoned runner.
You know, I think one of the most important things is getting the right pair of running shoes. You know, setting brands aside, you know, I think there's a lot of great brands out there. I think the biggest thing is like, you know, run specialty shops, you know, going in there and getting getting a gait analysis, getting fitted for shoes. Running isn't easy, especially when you start, and getting a good pair of shoes just makes it a little bit better. I think running in a pair of shoes that isn't right for you makes the whole process way harder than it has to be. So going out and getting a good pair of running shoes, it's an investment to your new hobby. It's an investment to your body. And it makes running a little bit easier because, like I said, running is not easy. It's a very challenging thing physically and mentally. So the least you could do is get yourself a good pair of running shoes and then finding a good community to run with. I think making it fun, so like a social thing, and then finding friends to run with to keep you accountable to your own goals is always a great thing. And then for your veteran runner, your seasoned runner, I would still say it's really good to get involved with, you know, people who are maybe have the same goals as you. I know as you start to run more, that community of avid runners gets smaller and smaller, but they're out there. I think finding those people that you can run with Because when you do run more frequently, it becomes more serious. It becomes more of a serious part of your life. And it's so important to focus on your relationship with running. I think that was the issue with me, was when I started training a lot after college, I was running, you know, 80-ish miles a week on my own. It became very taxing, where I would wake up and, you know, I absolutely did not want to run. You know, I got very emotional over some training sessions because I, you know, didn't want to do it. So I think it's finding that healthy balance and just keeping it fun and focusing on slow growth, not even like quantitative growth where you're constantly looking at your watch, but rather qualitative growth about how you're feeling. And I think that's super important. So those are like the two big things I would say.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's something I think, I mean, obviously for new runners, that's important. And you kind of don't realize it until you're in a good pair of shoes. But I think sometimes when running is such a big part of your life, like you were talking about with seasoned runners, it's harder to kind of gain that perspective. And so mm-hmm. that's really, really good advice.
All right. Speaking of advice, Blake, our final lap question. And this will wrap it up for us, but we want to know, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received?
You know, one, and it's one of my favorite quotes. You know, I don't know who's the true owner of the quote, but I always say shared pain is half the pain.
I like it.
Yeah, shared pain is half the pain. I think it's one of those things where it can be used in a bunch of different meanings, but you know, when you're running alone, it hurts a little bit harder when mm-hmm. versus when you're running with a friend. You know, I do spend a lot of time alone as being a tech rep. You know, you cover this territory, and you know, you spend a lot of hours in the car by yourself, but like it's nice to know that I have a bunch of coworkers who are going to battle with me from across the sea, across the land, and they're doing the same thing as me. But just knowing that you're never alone with anything that you do, and there's a lot of people going through the same things that you are. So I think, yeah, shared pain is half the pain is my favorite quote.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I like it. Very good. Very good. We always get some unique answers. People have received and given lots of good advice. So we really appreciate it.
Cool.
Well, Blake, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We know that you're traveling all over Georgia and Tennessee, and we appreciate you taking some time to be on the Terra Girls podcast with us.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. This is awesome. You know, I can't wait to not only listen to this episode, but just the many more that you guys do.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we're the Terra Girls,
inspiring people one runner at a time.
The Terra Girls podcast is brought to you by Terra Running Company, Cleveland's specialty running store. Named one of the best running stores in the country, Terra Running Company offers top-notch customer service and all the best running and walking brands. Whatever you need to support your active lifestyle, we've got it. Carrying brands like Hoka, Brooks, On, and New Balance, we also have the best fit specialists to help you find the best shoe for you. Open 7 days a week in downtown Cleveland or 24/7 at terrarunning.com.